Eagles Way Church, we're glad you're here. Jason, glad you're here, buddy. Hope y'all had a good time on the golf trip. Eagles Way is a great church, and if it's your first time, we're glad that you're here. If you come every Sunday, awesome. I had a guy yesterday was asking me about churches that his family was looking for a church, and you know, it's great to be able to just talk about how awesome your church is, and Eagles Way Church is a great, great church, and I'm glad that I'm here. I'm glad you're here. Miss Dusty Tackle is going to bring the word for us this morning. It's going to be a great morning. So let's stand up and let's worship.
all my life in yours. Take it all, take it all, my life in higher than the mountains that I face, stronger than the power of the grave, constant in the trial and the change. What
we've done it over and over again, but it just, there's so many words that are so powerful and so many different elements of this song, This Is Our God, that you can learn and seek God in. And one of the things I wanted to focus on was in the first verse. Can I read from your paper? And it says, your word I believe, I wait for you, draw near again. Let your spirit make me new. And in Proverbs 3:5, it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. And so many times I'm faced with decisions, which we all are every day, and I'm constantly, you know, concerned of, am I going to regret this decision? Is this the right decision? Lord, I need peace about this decision. But we live in that turmoil of trying to make a simple decision, even over ketchup. I don't know which one to do, organic, the best price, whatever. But it says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding, because we don't see the big picture. We can't see beyond our thoughts, because He can. Seek His will in all you do, and He will show you which path to take. That's a promise. He will show us. We have to trust in Him. Amen.
Spirit made.
You give life. You are love. You bring light to the darkness. You give hope. You restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. You give life, you are love. Yeah.
simple as the breath in our lungs. And so many times we don't think about that, God. But God, you restore, you give hope for people that are just lost. There's always that hope, and you are there, God. We are so, so thankful for who you are, for your love for us, God. And we give you praise today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you. You know, we had our golf outing this week, our annual Eagles Way Church men's golf outing. And, you know, Ralph, I don't know what I really looked for in the first 20 years of ministry, but I know what I've looked for in the last 20 years of ministry, that what I look for as far as the effects of a church, the effects that it's having on people, there are two things that I look for to let me know that the ministry of a local body of believers is being effective, is joy and peace. Jesus said, I want your joy to be full. Peter said, it's joy unspeakable and it's full of glory. Paul said in Romans 10:17, he said, the kingdom of God is not meat nor drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And to be around a bunch of guys and you just see the joy of the Lord and you see the peace of God in their hearts means everything. Everything. And that, to me, is what assures me that the ministry is being effective. Amen? Who's got joy? Just raise your hand. You got joy, peace? Huh? Isn't it good? It beats sadness and madness. I'd rather have peace and joy than sad and mad. Any day. How many has ever had sad and mad? Oh, all of you have had sad and mad. How many has ever had peace and joy? Which one you want? Peace and joy. Far, far better. Got Ron Walters in the house. Back from St. Thomas. The board of directors never thought it was necessary that I come and minister to you down there. Can't believe it. Oh, man, I can't believe they didn't say, Buren, you need to go. One of your sheep. It's in St. Thomas, Virgin Islands. When you go back, if you go back to an island, send the letters to the board of directors. I need Pastor Burns. I need him to come and touch my heart and minister to me. Don't forget that. I thought I trained you so much better than that. It wasn't enough. How many times have you heard me say, the best is yet to come? A lot. You got to say it over and over again to get it in people's hearts. You got to pound it, man. You got to pound it, pound it, pound it. Got J.D. Glass in the house. Everybody know J.D. Glass, good friend of mine for years and years and years. You've heard some of the infamous stories that I've told about him. You'll probably hear a few more. And some I can tell, some I cannot tell. I will tell you the ones we can tell. So over the years. But I was out of pocket this week. I'm going to be out of pocket actually the next couple of weeks. And so I've asked Dusty, my daughter, to speak this morning. Our theme for this month is attending. I will use in the letter A and our word grasp and attending to ourselves last week. Today, attending to our decisions. Next week, Pastor Will is going to be talking about attending to our body and our soul and our spirit, how we need to attend to that. How many know you need to give it attention? I looked at her notes. I passed it. I believe it'll be good. Dusty, love you. God bless you.
Well, good morning. I thought for a minute Bobby Joe was going to start preaching my message on decisions, attending to decisions. We make decisions every day. You made a decision to come here this morning. Aren't you glad you did? You make a decision what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear. You hopefully make a decision to shower, to brush your teeth. We get to make a decision how we're going to respond to people during the day. We make a decision to nag our husband over, you know, water poured into the Keurig that misses the Keurig and goes all over every single day. Or we make it a decision to let it go and choose peace. We make a decision to take something that someone says personally and get hurt by it. That's a decision. Or we make a decision to believe the very best and know that it wasn't personal. But we make decisions every single day, big and small. And today I'm going to talk about making big decisions, those decisions that we sometimes just war over in our minds. And I'm going to talk about making little decisions, because the fact is, we only make so many big decisions over our lifetime, but we make thousands and thousands of little decisions every single day. And I'm going to come down here a minute so I can be with you and feel you. I wrote a blog, I guess it was maybe a month or two ago, on a decision I was just warring over. And eventually kind of peace coming with that decision. But even when I had peace, I still warred with it. And Dad, after that, said, I want you to speak on attending to your decisions. And I said, did you not see how I struggled with attending to this decision? And he says, yeah, but I want you to speak on it. And I said, all right. Well, in that blog, I had said, I'm the queen of second guessing. And Pastor Will spoke into my life, and he said, stop saying that. Don't say that. Don't take ownership in that. Don't own that. And just trust in the Spirit within you and don't take ownership. I'm the queen. So I decided I'm not the queen of second guessing, because the Spirit of the living Christ is inside of me. And so the more I study this out and I just meditated on it, that we know that the greatest decision that we ever make is to serve God. But I want to tell you, the single greatest decision, the single greatest decision you will make every single day of your life is to fix your thoughts. To fix your thoughts. Philippians says, and I started preaching this on stage last week, and it's become such a reality for me, because you see, every little decision, every big decision flows from this. That's why the scripture says, first of all, it says, guard your heart above everything else, because everything you do flows from it. Every decision you make flows from it. The big decisions, the small decisions, every decision you make flows from this, because you see, our decisions create, because they were once a thought. And so if you don't hear anything else today, but if you hear, fix your thoughts on what is true, on what is honorable and right, pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And it says, keep putting into practice everything you've learned from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then it says, and the God of what? And the God of peace will be with you. The God of peace will be with you in your little decisions, because you are going to be fixing your thoughts above. And guess what your days are going to look like? They're going to be filled with calm and filled with good. You're going to have peace in your big decisions, because you know that no matter what decision you make in that big decision, your thoughts are so far above that you know that the Spirit of Christ is within you. He will work everything for your good. As I have, when it says keep putting into practice, this has become, I told Mom this week that I've never had so much clarity. I've never had so much where I just see so clearly. And because I've put this into practice, and there are times where I've kind of let, you know, those thoughts spiral, and you don't know that you're doing until you make a decision one day to fix your thoughts again, and you realize, man, I was missing things. I wasn't seeing so clearly. And And what I see so many of you doing is not just as you've practiced this, you're becoming it. You're being. You see, this paradigm shift isn't this shift that you have to strive for. You guys are the shift. You guys are the shift. And I see it every single day. I read your Facebook posts and I see how Thanksgiving and gratitude has just become so huge in your life. I read a blog post that Lauren Stewart shared just this week. She got a phone call from Willow's daycare that Willow had been hurt. And she fixed her thoughts on just thanking God that Willow's okay. Thanking God that she had even went so far as say that she's been wanting just time with Willow. And she just began thanking God that she's leaving work, going to get her hurt daughter, and she gets time. And everything worked out and everything was good. So you are this shift. You're being it. You're doing it. You're not striving for it. You are it. You're getting it. Little decisions get us to our destination. What's your destination? You want a great marriage? Little decisions along the way get you there. You want a healthy body? Little decisions every day get you there. I love this saying, I love this quote, and I don't know who said it, but it's good. It says, every positive change in your life begins with a clear, an unequivocal decision that you are either going to do something or stop doing something. This is what, Ralph, what we talk about. Instead of thinking about what you want, you're thinking from what you want. You think from it, and you move in it thinking from it. And this is the discipline, really, of just choosing between what you want now and what you want most. Do I want to address the water on the counter now and cause, you know, havoc? Or what do I want most? I want he and I to be good. I want there to be peace. Paul describes the discipline like this. In 1 Corinthians 9:24, he says, don't you realize that in a race, everyone runs, but only one person gets the prize? So run to win. All athletes are disciplined in their training. They do it to win a prize that will fade away, but we do it for an eternal prize. My mom's a runner. I'm a runner. And she and David Gamble run a lot of races together. If you're on Facebook, they have quite the following, you know. Because they run their races, they take their pictures and post pictures with their medals. Well, every once in a while, I tag along with them. Not every race, but every once in a while. And so back in December, we ran a race at the racetrack. And David got first place. Mom got first place. I got second place. And in our age groups. And so we come home, and Dad, the encourager that he is, told me, if you're not first, you're last. And I mean, I really caught a lot of flack for it. And then this last race we did Jogging for Jude, and Ellie was with us, and a few of you guys were with us. And man, Mom gets that medal. David gets a medal, and I'm just, no medal. So now I'm going to go home, go back to Mom and Dad's, and Dad's like, you didn't get a medal? Like, not even a medal, nothing. So Anna found this shirt for me, and it says, world's okayest runner. And it's funny, isn't it? And I decided that I'm okay being the world's okayest runner in those races, but I don't want to be the world's okayest runner in this race that matters. In this one, I don't want to be an okay runner. And there are things that runners do when they're training. There are things that they wear. You want a good pair of running shoes, right? There are things that you don't wear. Marathon runner's not going to go put a sweatshirt on. He's not going to be able to endure it. And in Hebrews, Paul says, since we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before you. What is a weight? It's anything that hinders your race. It's anything that slows you down. It's anything that's not working for you. You got something not working for you? It's a weight. And you've got to take it off. So in this, you've got to decide if it's a weight to stop doing something. You may have to decide to cut some things out of your life. You may have to decide to, it may be a good thing. We have this thing that we say in our home that sometimes you have to say no to good things so you can say yes to something better. It might be that you have to cut off guilt or shame. It may be that you have to cut off this negative thinking mentality and start believing that you are who God says you are, and that you start really believing that the best is always yet to come. You may have to cut out the reliving or the remembering bad experiences. Dad shared last week how when we remember, we actually remember something back together that should be left apart. You remember every bad experience, every hurt. And so you keep going through this process. I remember Dad not long ago was talking to Anna and says, Anna, anytime you have a memory, something come back to your mind of this experience, he said, I want you to think about skiing in Colorado. I want you to think about times on the beach. Go, think about the fun time and replace it. And think, but you, and Joey wrote a blog post, I think yesterday, called Let It Go. Let it go. Get rid of it. Ralph told a story one time years ago when we were getting together about a lady who went water skiing. And she was holding on to the rope and she fell. And she would not let go of the rope. And they kept yelling at her, let go of the rope, let go of the rope. Well, it scraped her body. I mean, she just hit every rock, every bump, and just tore her up when all she had to do was to let go of that rope. And here's the thing. You don't know what you're missing. Sometimes we hold on to these weights or we hold on to these things because it's a crutch. It's control issues. Well, if I don't address the water on the counter, then do you see what I'm saying? You hold on to this because you think you just put it at you. The water on the counter is fine. Once I get on an illustration, sometimes it just carries through, and I'm really okay with it because I clean it up. I do, and I'm fine cleaning it up. So, but once sometimes you don't know what you're missing. Until you stop. Back in August, I gave up wheat. Okay. All right? Here we go. I gave up wheat back in August. And and listen, I didn't know. I had some stomach issues. But man, I was not ready to give up my wheat thins and bread. I mean, it's, what'd you say? Tacos. So much to give up until... But once I gave it up, I saw what I was missing. And I was missing better health, better digestion. And Ken said, the next step, Dusty, is you're going to give up sugar. And I just said, slow your roll, Ken. We're going to do one thing at a time. One thing at a time. But you don't know what you're missing until you give it up. I am forgiveness. You may need to cut off unforgiveness, break it out of your life. I know this. I've walked this. I lived this. And I read something the other day, and it didn't sit well with me. It was, forgiveness doesn't excuse the person of their behavior. And I thought, it's exactly what it does. It excuses the person of their behavior. And I've shared a little bit, real from up here the past couple of months that our family went through a tough situation and where we had to really, really release forgiveness. And it was hard. It was to do, but you know it's the right thing to do, so that kind of makes it easier. And I really felt like I had fully done that until I saw that. And I posted this thing that I wrote, forgiveness is letting someone off the hook. Yes, ma'am. And I had to let them off the hook. And when I did, I did not realize the freedom. Because I get forgiveness this much. But when I really let them off the hook, man, the freedom. Man, that's the clarity. Man, that's where it comes from. You may have to cut off some things. I recently decided to stop raising my voice to my children. I know. And I made this decision and because I wanted to create, my initial reason was to create a house of peace to make sure we're always peace. And listen, if y'all hear me yelling at my kids, I've got a Holy Spirit. Her name is Anna Tackle. She's right there, and she's going to let me know. So you don't have to tell me. Remind me, I've got my own Holy Spirit. I've got it. But I knew that I had to create. If I wanted calm, I had to create that calm. Dad made this statement last week, and I thought it was so good. He said, if you're attentive to what's going on around you, there won't be any battles. If you're attentive, this is what we call being an observer. If you're attentive to everything going on around you, you're attentive to your response, and if you can step back and pause and breathe, if you're attentive to that, there's not going to be any battles. And I shared last week about the night before I had prayed and thanking God for a smooth morning, and that morning he had spilled my full cup of coffee all over the coffee table and all over my phone and the iPad and all that. And I had this moment, like John Henry like jumps up because he's trying to help me. He's probably a little scared, doesn't know what's about to happen. And I did that. I paused and I breathed and I said, it's okay, bud. It's okay. But through that response, not only did my morning go well, but it opened myself up to Thanksgiving. I would have missed the sunrise that I wrote about. I would have missed it because I would have been so focused in to living below the intent line, what Ralph talks about, living below. But instead of choosing to live above the intent line, I mean, I literally came home, sat on my bar stool with another cup of coffee full, and just started crying, tears of thanksgiving at how good my life is. How good my life is. You're going to have to stop doing some things. But when you stop, you may have to start doing some things. And when you start, that's called replacement thinking. And it's why in 1 Corinthians, so I run with purpose in every step. I'm not just shadow boxing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. See, I stopped raising my voice, but what I started doing was slowing my speech and speaking softly and taking yoga for Mary. All of the above has helped. You got to do some things on purpose. And here's the thing. When you find the purpose in it, you'll value it. Let me tell you what I found purpose in lowering my voice. And I want my children to know that no matter what circumstance they come up against, no matter what storm comes their way, that if they will fix their thoughts, then there is nothing they can overcome, that they will overflow with thanksgiving and gratitude. But I had to see the purpose in it and the value in it. Once I found the purpose in it, I valued it. So I value value them knowing that no matter what comes their way, they don't have to lose their cool. They don't have to think the worst. They rise above, rise above, rise above every single time. When you value your health, right, Ken? It's easy. It's easy to make those hard decisions. When you value your marriage, it's easy to make those right decisions. Play the story out. Ralph used to teach me, pretend like. See yourself in a situation, pretend like. Remember, Margaret, we used to pretend like in class, Betsy? Pretend like. Play it out. Play it out. See, how's this going to affect, this decision going to affect now? How's it going to affect tomorrow? Play it out. Big decisions. Big decisions. Bobby Joe read the scripture. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. He just says, acknowledge me. I'll show you what path to take. He says, if you need wisdom, we got a generous God. I'll give it to you. And here's the awesome thing. Is that everything you need, for those of you in the middle of a big decision right now, everything you need is already within you to make that decision. Get quiet, get still, meditate. I love this scripture in Isaiah. It says, whether you turn to the right or turn to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. This is the way. Walk in it. There are two big kinds of decisions that we make in life. Two big kinds of decisions. Either be still or go. Every big decision is be still, stay where you are, or move and go. Sometimes we know we gotta stay. Ruth made a decision to stay. Naomi had lost her husband, her two sons, and Ruth was married to one of Naomi's sons, for those of you who aren't as familiar with the story. And the other daughter-in-law had left. And Naomi said, go, Ruth, go ahead and go. And Ruth says, no. Ruth says, where you go, I'll go. And where you stay, I'll go. I'll stay. Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God. And so she stayed, and they went to Bethlehem. And Ruth worked the fields, would take the leftover stalks. Really, it was a rough, rough time for her. But Boaz heard about her decision to stay and to endure and protected her. And not only did Boaz protect her, she ended up marrying Boaz. You got a book of the Bible named after her, and she's in the lineage of Jesus Christ. She's in the lineage of Jesus Christ because she listened to what was already within her, that spirit. It said, stay, stay. It's already within you. And see, there are people who've made decisions to stay that are glad they did. There are families still intact today. Because someone decided to not grow weary in well-doing and stay the course. Abraham, there's a different story, heard the spirit within him say, go. Go. And he made a big decision to go. In Genesis, it says, the Lord said to Abraham, leave your country and your people and your father's household and go to the land that I will show you. He had to leave the comfort of what he knew, his hometown, his traditions, his everything he knew. I'm sure to get revelation of that big decision to pick up you and your wife to go, he had to shut down his iPhone, probably close his computer, and probably get really, really quiet to know, am I sure I'm hearing you? Am I sure I'm listening to you? And God even says, I'll make a great nation for you. And he and Sarah were 75 and childless, and we're going to have kids, and that's kind of weird, but I'm going to trust you, and we're going to see how this thing goes. But imagine had he not went. There are untold consequences Had Abraham not went, there'd be no Isaac, there'd be no Jacob. And he did not know where his decision was going to take him, but he had enough faith in the God within him to step out and do it. And he was blessed. There are big decisions that are good and change is good. It keeps us growing. Mary Fountain and Ralph shared a couple of Wednesdays ago when Mary was talking about how she made this big decision to learn yoga. And so she drove every weekend for 18 months to become a yoga instructor. Mary didn't know at that time where that decision was going to take her, but she and a friend just opened up their own yoga studio. She's got a brand that she's doing now. You see, you never know. And so what I encourage you, don't be scared to step out. God honors faith. He honors big steps. Some of you went back to school. Jason, almost 42 years old, you take a backpack with you every day to school, don't you? Who would have thought? You never, never know. And I love this saying someone said to me, life happens outside your comfort zone. You've heard that? Life happens outside your comfort zone. I want everybody, cross your fingers, or not fingers, your arms like this. Not your fingers, Bjorn, you're so mean. If you're not first, you're last, you're Rudy. All right, everybody crossed? All right, now what I want you to do, it's comfortable, right? We do this all the time. What I want you to do, I want you to cross them, but I want you to put, this is kind of hard, your other hand on top. Okay, feels different, right? Feel different? But you can do it, right? But you can do it. Feels different, but you can do it. One of my favorite pictures, and Jason, you can throw this up, is John Henry. We were, he was 7 years old. Jet was a baby. We were in Bahamas. Jet was with you. Jet was with mom and dad. Dad's not bitter. And John Henry... we were with another family, one of Chris's pilot friends, and their four kids, and we're all standing on top of this rock. It's called the Big Hole, and it's about Chris, 30-foot drop? 30, 35-foot drop. And everybody's just standing there, and it's the thing to do. You jump off this rock into the water, and nobody's going first. And my sweet little 7-year-old John Henry was terrified of heights. I mean terrified, but something got in him. I mean something got in him. And he said, I'm going to go. First one off. And he went. And we had just read the book. Do you remember Mark Batterson's In the Pit with the Lion on a Snowy Day? And we have this framed in our house, and I think mom and dad have it too. And we put this quote from Batterson. And it says, the greatest regret at the end of your life will be the lions you did not chase. It comes from a story in 2 Samuel about a man named Benaiah. Benaiah is somebody you will completely miss in the Bible, like totally miss if you miss these three verses. But Benaiah did many heroic deeds, which include killing two champions of Moab. Another time on a snowy day, he chased a lion down in a pit and killed it. Once armed with only a club, he killed an opposing Egyptian warrior who was armed with a spear. Benaiah wrenched the spear from the Egyptian's hand and killed him with it. Old Testament, so bloody. Deeds like these make Benaiah as famous as the three mightiest warriors. He was more honored than all the other members of the 30, though he was not one of the three. But then it says, and David made him the captain of his bodyguard. David made him the captain. You may not know where you're going with these big decisions. You just got to have faith to jump off the cliff, to jump off the rock and trust. Let me tell you what, John Henry loves this picture. That's probably his favorite picture we have because it reminds him, man, I'm brave. I can do new things. I can step out of my comfort zone. The blog that I wrote, Chris and I were in the middle of making a decision about changing schools for our kids. And that was the first time I even announced it, so everybody's going to know about it now. But I'd put out these fleeces. Anybody ever put out a fleece? And I said, okay, my kids are going to shadow. And if they get in the car and if they say, man, we love it, that's my fleece. First thing John Henry gets in the car, we're so going here. It's awesome. All right, God, I'm going to ask for one more fleece. So I knew that we had to pay a certain amount of money for blah, 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 blah. And I get this check in the mail for that amount of money. I'm like, okay, God, I'm going to do one more fleece. Just one more. So Jet, you're sitting here, so one more time, one more. One more. And here's the cool thing about God. He will give you as many fleeces as you want because he's gracious and loving. It is not his character to hide anything from you. That's not who he is. Well, however many times you want it, however many times you need it, he'll give it to you. And so I think I had asked Chris because we had been over. And Chris is confident because he's a man. And he knew this was the right thing to do. And finally, like, we're getting ready to sign the contract, and there's no turning back. And I said, Chris, we're going to sit down. We're going to pray over this contract. We're going to pray. And he looked at me, and he said, I am not praying over that contract. I will pray over you, but I am not praying over this contract. We have made our decision, and we're going to go on through it. A lot of our fears of making big decisions. Mom put this thing on Facebook yesterday, and it said, most of our pain comes from thoughts. I can sit here and think about the what ifs. What if they miss their friends? What if they don't thrive? What if? Those were thoughts. Those are thoughts of fear. Instead of turning it around, this is going to be the very best year of their entire academic lives, and this is an opportunity, and God's got good. It's going to be good because he's got a life and he's got a future, and it only gets what? Better. It only gets better. Dad says, my parents are actually, even though Dad's not my biggest encourager, he's actually one of the greatest he and Mom sounding boards for when I'm making a decision, because Dad will say there's nothing worse than the valley of decision. Indecision becomes decision over time. And my mom always says, make a decision and peace will come. Just make a decision. Sometimes you just got to do something. Now I'm going to give you what Ralph calls a gold nugget. If it's not a gold nugget, just say, oh, that was a great nugget. God has no fixed agenda on what decision you always make for your life and your family's life. Once you make a decision, he works with that decision. Is that a good gold nugget? He has no fixed agenda on what decision you make for your life because he's within you. Philippians says, for God is working in you, giving you the desire to do what pleases him. He's working in you to make these decisions and to already decide to do. He gives you that desire. Am I going to miss him? He gives you that desire to do what pleases him. He gives it to you. All God says that whatever you choose to do, do it with all your might. Do it unto me. Acknowledge me in all your ways, and I will direct your path. Do it unto me. People want to know, I don't want to miss God's will. I don't want to miss God's will. God tells you his will in 1 Thessalonians. He tells you his will. He says, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. To be thankful. To be kind. To be good. To be loving. To believe the best. To forgive. To let people off the hook. To say that this is the day the Lord has made and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it no matter what circumstances, no matter what, no matter what, no matter what, I'm going to fix my thoughts. I'm going to fix them. I'm going to fix them. I'm going to fix them. I'm going to hold them there. And I'm going to take every thought that's fear, that's painful, and I'm going to make an obedient to the truth that says, I have already overcome the world and I live within you. And it's going to get better. It just gets better. You think about what you want for your kids. I would never look at Anna or John or Jet and say, I want you to be a teacher. This is what I want you to be. I want you to be a teacher. No. I want you to do what you want to do. But what I do want for you, I want you to be thankful. I want you to love people. I want you to embrace everyone, accept everybody. I want you to think on these things. That's what I want. I have no fixed agenda for Anna. I have no fixed agenda for John or Jet. God's got no fixed agenda for you. He says just love. Be thankful. Because thankfulness expands. That's all they have to do. Thankfulness expands. Let me tell you, I was born to preach this message. I was born to tell you to fix your thoughts because you see, it's nothing. That's just a theory. I have worked this thing out and I will keep working it out until the day that I die. Fix your thoughts. Where's my Knox man? There he is. There are few decisions that are irrevocable. Very few. Even those decisions that we've made that have cost us, God will redeem. Even when you think you've made a wrong decision, Abraham, he kind of had a moment and slept with Hagar and had Ishmael. But let me tell you something cool. God still said, I'm going to give Ishmael a nation. I'm going to bless him. Because he had no fixed agenda. He had no fixed agenda for Abraham. He had no fixed agenda in saying, man, you screwed that up, Abraham. Now I'm going to give Ishmael a nation. I'm going to give Isaac a nation. Dad shared a long time ago about the garment in our car. And sometimes you set your route to a destination and say you make a wrong turn. It just says recalculating. We're going to go a different way. A detour's not defeat. It's just a detour, man. That's why in Romans, and he says, I'm working everything. I work all things for the good. You can't lose. You can't lose. You can't lose. And let me tell you, one decision to fix your thoughts, one decision to say, God, I'm going to acknowledge you in all my ways, to fix your thoughts, and he will drop you right in the center of where you're supposed to be. One decision. One decision. Every day, one decision. To love, to trust, to believe the good, to set your sights high. Today is Sacrament of Healing, and if you have a need this morning and you need to be healed in your body, physical or soul or spirit, whatever you need, I'm going to ask that you come down. Maybe you just want to be spoken an affirmation over. I'm going to make a decision today that I'm going to think on these things. I'm going to rise up and every day I'm going to purpose, walk with purpose in my step to think and to respond the way Christ wants me to think and to respond. You might be in the middle of a big decision right now. And to know, do I need to stay where I am? Or do I need to jump off that cliff? Whatever it is, if that's you, if everyone would stand, and if that's you and you want prayer over a decision, or you need healing in your body, and the elders will come and lay hands on you and we'll pray for you.
You know, if you just hear over and over and over again today that you can't mess up, if you can only get that one thing that deep down inside you to know, when Abraham slept with Hagar and had Ishmael, God blessed that mess. He blessed that mess. And one day, years later, Joseph's brothers threw him in a pit. And he's in a pit to die. And guess what? A band of Ishmaelites came by, rescued Joseph, took him, and then he saved all of Israel. God blesses my mess. Say, God blesses my mess. Ain't that good news? You can't mess up. You mess up, he fixes it up. I kind of look at God like Big Mama. Every mess I made, she cleaned it up. She cleaned up all my aches. She cleaned up so many of my messes. Aren't you glad you got somebody to clean your mess up? I am. The best is yet to come. Usher's going to be coming to worship God with our giving. Thank you for your giving this year. We're above budget for the first time in years. God's just doing great. You're doing great because giving is part of our, what? Being. Being. So that's what I want you to say today is, you know, we've been using the ing word, giving, renewing, serving, praying. I want you to make it a little more personal. I'm a giver. I'm a giver. I'm a renewer. I'm an attender. You be it. And the ing will come out of the er. The ing will come out of the er. You with me? Just one with me? Y'all with me? I'm a giver. So Lord, we give to you today. We bring our tithes, we bring our offerings, we are givers. You called us to be givers, and we give to you out of our hearts cheerfully. Cheerfully we bring it in. Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. Amen. I want you to kind of bring it down just for a minute, guys, and Ray's going to ask you for something.
First, I'd like to take this opportunity to thank everybody for the great Christmas that Angel Tree had. And a lot of it is because of you. Well, we're in the middle right now of having our summer camp. And this summer camp is geared to the same children. These children, a child that has a parent in prison has an 83% greater chance of going to prison themselves. And we've proven through time that through the summer camp, we're able to set people up, these children up with mentors. And that reduces the percentage down to in the low 20s. And my appeal today is at this camp in Yatesville that we're using, that we've actually made a long-term commitment with, we need some work done around there. We need somebody to help cut the grass. We have a pool that we need taken care of. We have some work on a pond that we're working on, that we was in the middle of working on, and I can't do it now. And there's some painting that needs to be done just to get everything ready for the summer. And part of my appeal is to ask for labor, ask for people. I know everybody can't provide money, everybody can't give money, but if you have a talent or a skill or you something you can do to try to help us get this camp ready for summer, I'd really appreciate your help. Plus, I mean, like I said, we need money too. It takes money to make this thing work. We're also looking at during that week, we need people to help that can help provide meals. help, but whether it be a dinner, whether it be lunch, make sandwiches for lunch or something, you know. I mean, just anything that you can do would be greatly appreciated. You can get with me or you can get with Baron, I'm sure, and we can set up something. And I'm going to be setting up some actual weekends that we're going to be doing work over the next few weeks. And if you can help, I greatly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you, Ray. Yeah, if you want to do anything like that, just money-wise, just let me know that you're giving to this project. And just make it out to EWC, and we'll make sure that it gets to that project for this summer.
Hi. I just want to appeal to the Board of Governors to let him come down. What I do want to say is just... I can't express enough, and I think I said this back in February when I was home for a little bit, just how much this place means. And don't ever, and I don't think you do, but if I could encourage you, don't ever take for granted what you have here in the preaching and in the music and in the quality of the musicians. And God provided some Oasis. You know, when I was in Daytona, there was a church I would go to and have communion, and I went to church a couple of times in St. Thomas, and it was a place to be, but it wasn't home. And I just want to encourage you how wonderful you have it here. And go visit, go see the world, and go do things, and that's great. I'm not saying don't go, but just know when you go that this place is amazing. And just want to thank you so much for being home.
God bless you. May his face shine upon you. Be grateful and thankful for everything, and all will be well. Love you.
Darkness, you give hope, you restore.